If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
If you have your Bibles, we'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 2. We'll have it up on the screen also. Verse 11. The Apostle Paul writes, he says, "Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. I wonder how many of you remember, this is going back a ways, but I wonder how many of you remember the show The Lone Ranger. Some of you do. The rest of you can Google it. Of course, The Lone Ranger did just what his name suggested. He was functioned pretty much on his own, except for Tonto. But it's been said, and I believe it's true, that God has not saved any of us to be lone rangers. Did you know that God did not design this Christian life to be lived in isolation? But he designed it that we may do life together. Even the cults today recognize that there is something within each of us that makes us want to belong. Here in Ephesians, after detailing in the previous chapter the marvelous work of God to bring salvation, Paul in Ephesus talks about the relationships of believers one to another. He explains that through Christ, the barriers which have separated Jew and Gentile have been abolished. We too, as modern day believers, have much that can divide us. How many know that's an understatement in 2020? But not only should we not be divided today, we should be glued together. Or as the apostle uses the phrase in verse 21, we are joined together. And that's the title of my message today, those two words, joined together. Joined together. In this passage, Paul uses three metaphors to show that believers are not just casually related to one another, but are intimately joined together. And these metaphors have much to teach us about the nature of relationships of believers. And so I want to share that with us today. These the Word of God teaches us that all believers are joined together, first of all, as citizens of God's kingdom. Paul reminds his Gentile readers that they, referred to derogatorily as the uncircumcised by the Jews who referred to themselves as the circumcised, that is, they practiced the rite of circumcision. So they derogatorily referred to Gentiles, which I think Gentiles probably refers to most or all of us who are here today and most of our church who are watching. They referred to them as the uncircumcised. And Paul gives a catalog of the exclusion of the Gentiles. You see, being joined together as citizens of God's kingdom speaks to us today of inclusion. Of inclusion. But listen to this catalog that describes how separated the Gentiles were at one time. They were, in the past, he describes them as separate from Christ. That is, they had no connection to Messiah, as the Jews did. He says, secondly, they were excluded from citizenship in Israel. They had no part in God's relationship with the Jews, whereby he had revealed himself. Thirdly, they were, quote, foreigners to the covenants of the promise. That means they could expect no benefit from the covenants that God had with Abraham and with David and with the other patriarchs. He describes them further as having been without hope. What a bleak description for a people, isn't it? Without hope in this world. He says they were without God in this world. They had no knowledge of the true God. He says, you Gentiles in the past, you were excluded. Isn't that an awful word? Excluded, left out. But he says, but now, oh, now, you are included in the present. Hallelujah. He says in verse 13 that Christ's sacrificial work on the cross means that all can be citizens of God's kingdom. Isn't that awesome news today? We are fellow citizens of God's kingdom. What a great thing citizenship is. I know our country is taking a beating right now. I know there are a lot of flaws that are being exposed worldwide. But I believe when this country lives up to its founding ideals, it's still the greatest country on the face of the earth. We don't always get it right. But this country was founded on biblical principles. And citizenship means you are included. For many naturalized citizens who become citizens by choice and go through the process, when they take that oath of citizenship, that is one of the proudest days of their lives. Because you know what? Our laws in this country make no distinction between those who are citizens by birth and those who become citizens by choice. Did you know that? There's no difference. Every citizen, whether by birth or becoming a naturalized citizen, has the same rights and the same responsibilities as every other citizen. Isn't that awesome? And that's how it is in the kingdom of God. Paul says there was this separation between Jew and Gentile. The Gentiles were excluded. They were left out. They didn't have the benefits of citizenship. He says, but now you're included. You see, when it comes to God's kingdom, all of us, Jew and Gentile, were once aliens, but now we are fellow citizens. We have a common experience in Christ. Jesus Christ did that. We're all included. Fellow citizens have the same rights, as I said, and the same responsibilities. The law looks at them no differently. This morning, We are joined together as fellow citizens of the kingdom of God. We have the same rights and the same responsibilities. We are privileged people today. Hallelujah. And God has blessed us. We talk about the blessings we have as citizens of this country, and they are many. But they pale in comparison to the blessings we have as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And whether you're an American or whether you come from some other nation, you can be proud of your heritage, you can be proud of your nation. And we all owe a certain allegiance to our nation. But we should reserve our highest allegiance for the kingdom of God. Amen. We are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. We are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for my spiritual heritage. I'm thankful for my spiritual citizenship. Aren't you? It was purchased by the blood of Christ. You and I couldn't earn it. We couldn't work for it. We never deserved it, but we were given the privilege of citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. And so we have that in common this morning. Amen? Amen. No matter what our differences. Listen, it's easy to find things that can divide us. Let's gather around things that join us together. And one of those things is we have joint citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. What's the second way we are joined together that Paul talks about here? Secondly, we are joined together as members of God's family. This speaks to us of identity. Being fellow citizens speaks of inclusion. Being members of God's family speaks to us of identity. Paul tells us that Christ's death did three things. In verse 14, he says, the death of Christ brought peace through the abolition of the dividing wall of hostility. Now, some commentators feel like Paul could be referring to the law. Because the law, certainly, the law was given by God. But the law made a wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. But also, I referenced this last week, in the temple there were different courts, and the outermost court was known as the court of the Gentiles. And there was a wall between the court of the Gentiles and the next court that gave severe warnings to any Gentiles who would go beyond there. It said they did so at the penalty of death. Very clearly, if you were a Gentile, you were excluded from entering the inner sanctum of the temple. But Paul says Jesus Christ in his body, in the sacrificial work on the cross, he abolished that wall. Hallelujah. And Paul uses awesome language. He says, you who were once far away can now come near. He abolished the dividing wall. The second thing Christ did is he created a new man in his body, reconciled to God in peace. Verses 15 through 17 tell us this. This is so exciting, church. I'm going to stay here for a few minutes. Hallelujah. God created, through Jesus Christ, a brand new man. Paul says, you're no longer Jew and Gentile. You're a new man. You're one new man in Christ. Hallelujah. We're no longer black or white. We're one new man in Jesus. We're no longer Asian or Hispanic or Indian or any other nationality in Christ. Yes, we have those nationalities. I'm not saying you deny your heritage, your nationality. I said last week we should celebrate. God made us diverse. We should celebrate diversity. But our primary identification, hear me, should be as a child of God, as a member of His family. We hear a lot of talk today about how people identify, you know, as if by choice I can change my gender, for example. I got news Our chromosomes tell one story, and that's who we are. I saw a story of a woman online a few days ago. She was Caucasian by birth. She was as white as I am. They had a picture of her. And through some process, she darkened her skin very, very dark, and she says she now identifies as black. Well, she looks black, but I have to question, is that who she is? See? And so people choose to identify. And so what do? We erect walls. I'm a conservative, I'm a liberal, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, I'm black, I'm white, I'm this, I'm that. Can I tell you something? Those are the identifications of the world. But we are the church. Hallelujah. We should primarily identify ourselves as children of God. We are members of a family. And church, let me tell you, family sticks together. It's like this in your family. I know it's been like this in mine. It's like this in yours. Family members have squabbles sometimes, don't we? Come on. Your closest family members, sometimes you want to wring their necks. But don't let somebody else attack your family member, right? Because then it's on, right? Am I right? Because, hey, you know, I can call him or her a blockhead, but you can't. Because they're my family. We're blood, right? Yes. Shouldn't it be that way in the kingdom of God? Yes. How dare we let this world separate us? How dare we let political divisions separate us in the family of God? How dare we let the color of our skin separate us in the family of God? How dare we let all these petty differences of the world separate us? We're family today. Come on, church. We are family. Hallelujah. And I believe a great many of us, perhaps all of us, need to repent of allowing the divisions of the world to intrude upon the family of God and separate us. They have no business in the church. Yes, we'll have disagreements. Yes, we'll have little squabbles. Yes, sometimes we'll have to agree to disagree. That's family. But we're family today. In my church growing up, we sang this little chorus. We might go a few minutes over today. We've been trying to keep to an hour. We may go a few minutes over today. Is that all right, church? I thought it was. We sing a little chorus in my church. I don't care what church you belong to, just as long as for Jesus you stand. And today, if your heart is as my heart, you're my brother, so give me your hand. Hallelujah. We need to be careful. I know there's a lot going on in the world. And I know our passions are stirred. And I get that. But we need to remember we're family. Every one of us. No matter the language we speak, the color of our skin, the political party we consider ourselves a part of, or any other wall of separation that this world has come up with. We need to be about uniting. Unity is not uniformity. We're not all the same in every respect, but we're united. We're family. And we need to take every opportunity to affirm our relationship to one another as family. What are some qualities of families? Family members love each other. Family members care for each other. You know, Galatians says, weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Family members protect each other. I referred to that a moment ago, don't we? Family members want the best for each other. Paul says that we are joined together as members of God's family. That's where our identity comes from. I'm thankful for all the other parts of my life, who I am, my heritage and my nation and my parents, but I mostly identify as a child of God. with salvation purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're family today. Members of God's family, which speaks of identity. Thirdly, Paul tells us we are joined together as stones in God's temple. Stones in God's temple. This speaks of importance today. He says God's kingdom here is described as a temple. I love the way Paul just shifts from one metaphor to another. A temple is the place where God dwells and where God is worshiped. We're told three things here about the temple. Number one, it is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Now, scholars have some sort of debate about what that means exactly, but many feel it means that the church is built on the foundational principles that God revealed through the apostles and the prophets about the nature of this temple, this place where God dwells. And then we're told, secondly, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Now, the cornerstone was not just, you know, we see modern buildings with a cornerstone. There's an inscription established in such and such a year, more or less ceremonial stone. Some translate this as a capstone over the top. But the cornerstone was the first stone that was laid in the structure of a foundation of a building. And many times they often weighed thousands of pounds, and they set the lines for that building. They determined the lines and the structure of what that building would be. And Paul says Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of God's temple. That means it lines up with Him. That means it's set in place by the Lord Jesus Christ. So the temple's built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And thirdly, we're told believers are part of that temple. It's a cliche, but it's so true and so powerful. We are part this morning of something much bigger than ourselves. Did you know that? Did you ever hear the phrase, "It's not about you"? Boy, that's hard to swallow sometimes. Because let's face it, we're used to living our lives in many respects, whether we say it or not, by the principle, hey, it's exactly about me. But it's not. We're part of something much greater and much grander than ourselves. I said this a few weeks ago. It's not about, God, what is your plan for my life? God, what do you want to do in my life? And where do you want to take me? It's, Lord, how does my puny little life fit into your plan for all of the universe? God, where, as a stone in your temple, where do you want to place me? What do you want to do with me? How can I play my small part in your kingdom? Where do I fit in, Lord? Lord, it's not about my dreams and my plans and my agenda and my hopes. Lord, it's about how I fit into your holy temple. It's how I can be a vessel for you. It's how you can use me as you will. It's about you pouring me out and using me up for you. It's been said that you never see, I used to use our brick wall up here, but we don't have a brick wall anymore. But now we have a stone wall up here. They're fake stones, but anyway, they look like stones. It would look pretty strange to see one of those little stones just pried out of the middle of that wall, wouldn't it? I don't know if you could do it. You'd have to smash the wall. See, that's how tightly God wants to cement us as stones of His temple. I love what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. He said, we are living stones. We are living stones. We are living stones, don't crumble under pressure, and living stones can be cut and shaped to fit in that temple. You see, a lot of times we have things come our way and trials come our way, and we just say, why me? And I just want to live a life of smooth sailing. But the reality is, God is using trials, hear me, church, God is using difficulties and problems and challenges to cut us as living stones to fit into His temple. You see, we may not realize it, but we have a lot of rough edges. It just got really quiet. I don't know if you can tell online, but in here it got really quiet. We have rough edges, and we don't always fit together real well, do we? So God will send or allow trials and things to come in our way, because He wants to smooth off the rough edges. He wants to mold us. And He wants to fit us together. You see, if I always have to have my way, and you always have to have your way, which is most likely different from my way, we may not be able to accomplish too much together for the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? If you have to have your way, and I have to have my way. But if we both surrender and allow God to knock those rough edges off, and we say it doesn't have to be my way, and you say it doesn't have to be your way, we say, hey, whatever it takes, it's going to be God's way. Then we're getting somewhere. Then that temple is being built. Do you realize what the privilege we have of being God's dwelling place? That's true individually. We are individual temples where God dwells. But there is something dynamic. There is something that can't be artificially created in any other way. There's something that happens as we come together, as we are joined together, as we are unified. We become a holy temple where God dwells, where God is glorified. Jesus said, they'll know you're my children. They'll know you belong to me by your love. We just sang that song today, let your love surround us. You see, the truth of the matter is, when we find our place in relationship with God, there are two kinds of reconciliations being talked about. Not only Jew and Gentile, but both together are being reconciled to God. And when we find our place in God, we are going to be joined together with our brothers and sisters. Amen? That's the way it works. So easy to get focused on our little world, isn't it? Isn't it? My world and my concerns, and I'm not saying they're not legitimate, and we have to take care of things. We have to tend to business. I get it. I have to, just like you have to. We have to pay our bills, and we have to deal with problems and deal with health issues. We have to deal with our personal things. But it's so easy just to have tunnel vision and focus on my little world. And God is saying, you are part of something so much bigger than yourself. Let me cut you and mold you so that you fit into my holy temple where I can be glorified in my temple. I'm so thankful to be part, to be a stone in God's temple, aren't you? And that's where our importance comes from. More important than self-importance is importance as part of God's temple. That's where we find our significance. I said we find our identity in God's family. Our significance or our importance comes from being a stone in God's temple, to being fit for the Master's use. Conclusion today, as believers in Christ, we are joined together, first of all, as citizens of God's kingdom. We are included in the kingdom of God. Once we were aliens, once we were foreigners, once we were excluded, but now we're included in His kingdom. Praise God. Before we may have gotten our identity from a variety of places, but our number one identity now is that we're members of God's family. We're family. And I'll say it again, we cannot, we dare not allow the walls and the divisions of this world to divide us as members of God's family. We might have to fight. We have to fight for one another. We have to fight for our family members. We have to fight to stay close. That's where our identity comes from. And thirdly, we are stones in God's temple. We are part of something bigger than ourselves. We are not designed to fulfill our own purposes, but to be part of His temple, a place where Almighty God dwells and is worshiped and is glorified, and where His kingdom is advanced, where His agenda is fulfilled. And that's how we need to live.